So, Roscoe, we have just watched ReZero, the second season, episode 15. What are your thoughts?
I hated it.
Oof, strong. Strong,
I hate absolutely it. Hated it. Worst episode ever. Why would they try to make everyone happy? You know? How dare they give people good endings?
Oh man, which caught, you know, so like I don't know if it's a good ending because or a happy ending for most people, because like I could when I was done watching the episode, actually no, not even when I was done watching the episode, when I was like 3/4 of the way through the episode, I heard a cry, just like a whole bunch of millions and millions of voices crying about why Rem is stuck at second girl. And they all just were just crying out in pain. And then suddenly they all stopped because they knew all their hopes and dreams were dashed. They saw their ship and they saw it got sunk. It's been blown to pieces. Smithereens.
No, their ship was sunk last season. It's been in the water and it's started to grow kelp. And there are sharks swimming in between it. And finally someone, you know, dug it up and forced people down there and made them stare at the carcass that was their ship.
Yeah, I know we're exaggerating, but we're not kind of wrong. It was kind of like, this episode was kind of like, hey, you Rem fans or any other fans of any, like any of you guys making these ships or whatever, these fanfics, fuck you. Oh man.
Yeah, no, but I truthfully like this episode. It was a really great episode. My only worry is that they are going to quickly undo everything that they did in this arc. I feel like they're setting this up for what is about to be maybe the darkest arc that we've seen, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, there is, man, like, we say this about the show a lot. I don't know if we have seen it on this, like, this podcast, but I know we said this a lot on our private discussions. But this show is so, like, there's so much information that just gets kind of thrown out, where you're like, oof, that could mean a lot of things. Like, this could go a lot of ways. It makes it very interesting. It, like, makes it, like, this can go a lot of ways, and I don't see clear... it's hard to see clear paths here, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, nobody. There are no clear paths. I'll say they could pretty much go wherever they want with the sort of trajectory they have right now.
I think they resolved some stuff and like they had interesting arguments in this episode. But it also feels like they're slowing down the pacing again. Which is, I'm not against, it just seems like, I want to make sure we get to a conclusion this season, if that makes sense. I would hate for this, I know it's inevitable for this to end on a cliffhanger, but I want to like at least end on a place that feels like at least good, if that makes sense.
Well, nobody, we have even got to, we have to keep reminding you, and I will keep reminding you every episode we have that we still have not seen the disciples for the last like 15 episodes.
Yes.
And they were there in the first season. So this season is far from over, but I actually had the opposite view from you. I thought that, you know, once we had the whole, confession arc or confession scene, that things were, seemed to me like they were about to get picked up very quickly. There seemed like they added a lot more to the stake. And then, you know, they come out. I mean, I don't want to, we are kind of fast forwarding. We are kind of fast forwarding over a lot that happened in the beginning. But when, I was about to say Kirito, because this scene reminded me of Sora Online when they like, when they just did the Asuna and Kirito ship in like the middle of the season. But when Subaru comes out of the temple with I keep wanting to say Asuna. It's not Asuna.
It's Amelia.
Amelia. Same thing, different colored hair. nobody knows. Tell me I'm wrong. But when he comes out of the temple and freaking Beast War, Beast Man Natsu Dragneel is sitting out there, it seems like they're about to have some sort of confrontation. I don't think it's going to be with Fist. I think they might have a thing with words. But no, I think there's a lot that could happen. I think they're setting up for a lot of interesting stuff. Although I definitely think, I don't think Super is going to make it this trial. I think he's probably going to have to end up being Roswell's, what word am I thinking of?
I don't know.
His lap dog? His little pog champ for the next season?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't disagree with you. I just hope they don't slow down. I hope like we get some solid conclusions and like, you know, at least get back to the main big bad that we saw in the first episode. They were like, hey, here's two of the main big bads and bye.
Yo, do you know what's my theory now? I think you're right. I think you are kind of onto something. I think that, so what I think is going to happen is that they're going to get to the end of the, basically the end of the arc. Subaru is going to find some way to liberate the castle, get Amelia through a trial, save everyone that was going to die, and even somehow defeat crazy psycho stabby in the eye lady. And then right at the moment where you think everything's safe, those dudes in the hoods, man, the disciples are going to come in and just murder Subaru, and pretty much all the progress he's made is going to be over. That is my prediction. I'm not saying I'm like kind of 60%. That's my 60 over 40 on that.
I am. That wouldn't be a bad, like, oh man, I like that though. Like it's so ReZero to do that, right? But okay. Let's before we go back into speculation, let's talk about the episode real quick. But I guess like we can just start at the beginning. So this episode starts with a flashback with Otto. Otto gets a flashback. Well, there's a little bit more before that. He does have. You said this in the last podcast or whatever. You're like saying, what if he had like a superpower that like no one knows? And you were kind of completely called that, where he's like, yeah, I have the Beast
Whisperer. Did I say that?
Yeah, you were like, oh yeah, I wonder if Otto, you were like saying like, oh, Otto might have like a power that no one really knows about. And you were kind of right. And he was like, yeah, I have the Beast Whisperer. I had this power to talk to animals all the time, which it does explain some stuff where you can talk, why you could talk to something, like why he was talking to like Subaru's dragon so much, but like it was still very like, I've been keeping this kind of a secret, man. I was a little bit mad. I was like, motherfucker, why did you use this stuff? But I think it's like his powers is like pretty well balanced in a way. But yeah, I just found that interesting where like, you know, we figure out that Otto has this power of like, you know, talking to animals and they listen and do what he says, and this has been like a power that he has since he was a kid. So yeah, he's just like Beastmaster or something like that.
The fact that he hasn't used that, like, who's the guy from Naruto with the insects?
Is it Shino? Is it Shino?
I don't know.
I think it's Shino.
It might be Shino. That doesn't sound super familiar to me, but. Yeah, the fact that he hasn't utilized his powers like Shino or like anybody in that clan is kind of disappointing. But yeah, they just... It wasn't unsurprising, like you said, because we've seen hints of it. But also, like, wasn't super expecting it.
Yeah, what's called? I just think of that whale, man. I'm like, motherfucker, you could have done anything else.
Yeah, like, why'd you talk to the whale, huh? Maybe they just can't talk to those sorts of animals or monsters, or maybe they're some sort of different type of thing.
Yeah, but yeah,
but maybe that might come into handy later. Maybe he might become able to utilize or communicate with things like that. Because if he gets control of the bunnies, bro is a whole threat to humanity.
He becomes the strongest person on this series. If he can talk to these bunnies and they listen, strongest person in the series by far. Oh, yeah. Man. But yeah. So
fucking sword dude stands no chance.
Pretty much. I don't know. I guess like my question is like, I found his backstory like pretty good. There is one part that's particularly that like cracked me the fuck up. But I think his backstory was more interesting than I thought it was gonna be. He really come off as like, you know, this was like a gift and a curse that he had to deal with for a long time, and he's kind of been ostracized and like learned how to like make the best of it, like best of his situation, even though like his ability is like kind of powerful but kind of like sucks for him. And it's like I really like what they did in the beginning where he's like his hearing's kind of always off because he's hearing too much. It reminds me of like when you know you have a super powerful hero or something like that, and they just like the burden of that power is like omnipresent, like so like, you know, he's hearing like everything and stuff like that, so, or he's like can only hear like very select things or whatever. So I found that pretty interesting. I guess like what did you think about his backstory? I know there's a specific thing that you want to talk about, but I think we're going to talk about it. I just want to like just in general, what do you think about it?
Okay, so I'm going to ask one question. So nobody, are these powers connected? Let me ask this question again. Do you think these powers are connected to Subarus in any sort of way? Like how they call, what they call it? They called it a divine protection. Do you think those are somehow connected to the sort of thing that Subaru has? Because they do seem like they share similarities in how they're, one, how their power is received, and two, how they perceive their own powers, because it doesn't seem like they're really much of, like, they hurt as much as they help, and they seem to have a backfire, just like every sort of thing in the world. It seems like it has that sort of, like, good, bad thing that, like, connects to the witches, like, how the bunnies are sort of like, hey, you know, if you could kill these bunnies, you could, like, have enough food to live eternally, but you just have to kill these bunnies.
Man, that's a good question. I think no. And the reason I think no is because of the other candidates that we have, like, talked to and met. So, yes, this power is, like, super special and very, like, exclusive to Otto or whatever. But like I think of like I think it's Crystal. What's the girl with the green hair that lost her memories in the first episode of this season?
Man, I do not remember.
Oh, wait.
I know what you're talking about though.
Let me look up her name. She's the one that Felix protects. Let me look up her name. Yeah, I think it's Krusha. I'm butchering this and people are gonna hate me for it. I'm just gonna go with this final one. Krusha. I think of Krusha, and like Krusha has an ability or power to tell when someone's lying or not. Just like straight up. She can like read people on the winds. And I feel like that's I think that's like a good example of like, hey, this is kind of like, yes, Otto is special, but like people being special is not a special thing in this world, if that makes sense, right? So this is why I'm not 100% like attached to the idea of like, hey, like this is like all connected or anything. I think Otto is just another special person in this world, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Well, the other girl that was a thief that now is a candidate too. Like, you know, she like the assassin lady was saying like, hey, yeah, she was pretty special too, right before she murdered her.
So, I guess that's a whole other question is how are these people special? Like, I didn't realize that this is a question I never even asked. How or what is the process? Or like, why are, no, that, what is the criteria for them selecting the princesses? And also, how are people considered special? Like, how, what sort of deity or like, what sort of magic gave Ottoman his power? Is it Ottoman or Ottowin? I keep forgetting his name.
I think it's Otto, but I'm not sure.
Otto, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't even go that far. I'd be like, you could even like point out the sword guy, right? Like, you could say like some of these people are special because of hard work, like the old William. Like old William, I would consider him special, but there's a whole backstory about him, about saying he was kind of shit until he got good. He just like really worked hard and got good, and that's how like made him special and stuff like that. And like I think Krusha's ability is just innate, like she was born with it. It wasn't like, well, at least we don't know yet. Like it, at least I don't know yet that it. I don't know if this was like a gift given by the gods, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but in Otto's case, it does seem to be blessed by somebody
Yeah, it could
or
be.
something. At least that's what they said. It's some sort of like some sort of protective blessing.
Well, like, is there deities in this world? Like, we only know the witches, right? And yes, they are super powerful, but are they deities? Like, are there deities in this world, I guess? Like, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I find it difficult not to define them as deities just by the scope of their power. It seems like they had a pretty strong hand in like, if not the state of the world as it is now, like, or the, didn't they have, I'm trying to remember the full extent of like what their, if, didn't they have like a stake in like the creation of the world?
No, they just they yes, in a way, because they did stuff to make the kingdom like stronger. Like, so the Witch of Sloth made the dragon sleep or whatever, right? Like, they have stuff that helped the city state grew and have control and stuff like that. But like, they all were just kind of people in a way, right? Like, they all got fucking, well, I don't know if all of them got murked. Well, all of them got murked for the Witch of Envy. In a way, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think they're not gods of the world, if that makes sense. They do definitely have like large effects on the history of the stuff, but they're not the creators of the world.
But they do have godlike power. Like, the Witch of Envy is basically Kronos in like Hades melded together. She can stop time and kill people at will.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I was just saying like, I was just saying like I don't know if there's any gods in that story, right? Like, I guess my thing would like also lead into like, would Puck be considered one of these gods too? Because he's obviously wicked strong too, right? Like, I don't know.
I think, man, this is a whole separate thing. I'd really want to do like a, man, I wonder if that's a thing, mythological, like religious studies of like fictional characters or like speculative religious theory. 'Cause that is a whole separate debate of like the way their world works, like would have a very different, like religion look way different than how religion would look here.
Yeah.
Just by the nature of it, kind of like in like Legend of Zelda, the religion is weird because like for some reason a lot of the like the religious buildings in Legend of Zelda seem only to be built for like Link or a hero like Link to like access it. It doesn't have any other seeming use other than for somebody to go in there and jump over things and solve puzzles.
And break rocks and pots and
And
rocks.
pots.
But yeah, I guess like so I guess I'm guessing do you like Anduin's like did you like his backstory, I guess, like.
Oh yeah, although I was really confused at the I was really confused at that the scene that we both are probably thinking about, the where there's some guy that accuses Otto for some reason of sleeping with his girl and then like beats the shit out of him. And I guess Otto like talks to like he just starts talking around to like the animals in the neighborhood like some Dr. Doolittle. It just comes up to the girl and the boy while they're like in the middle of talking, and he's like, "Hey, you've been fucking everybody, you whore!" And then like the dude gets pissed off and he punches him in the face. That was a really weird.
It was like he was like, "You're a big old whore." It's just out of nowhere. It was just crazy where he's like, and like this girl is like one of the most powerful people in this town or whatever her dad is or whatever. And he was like, "I'm all about the truth. I don't care. I'm gonna find out the truth." And he found out the truth and he was like, "This is a she's a Jezebel." And he just walks up there and so it's like, "Yo, you're a slut."
Yeah, like it was also kind of wild because like one, the dude beats the shit out of him because he thinks that he's cheating on him, and then when he finds out that like he's not, she didn't cheat on him. In fact, like she's been cheating on like a bunch of people, not just with Otto, or not even with Otto at all. Like he still gets the shit. He still gets like, does he still get the shit beat out of him?
Yeah, he gets beat up, and then he has to like run from the town.
Yeah, and then he has to leave town, and the girl is like, "You, like, can somebody please kill this guy?" Or what did she say? She said something like really wild, like out the side of her neck. She was like,
I think that is
"What
right.
did she say?"
I think she's just straight up saying like, she's like, "How dare you?" At first, there's a scream, and then she says like, "Kill him." Like she just orders for people to kill this dude for calling her like for well like when I even called her like I don't know he definitely just told the truth. He just said like what was true, and I get it. It's fucked up to say, but like he just told the truth, and she was like, "Yeah, this dude gotta go." Yeah, it was just wild. It was a wild thing. That story. But I think his backstory is pretty interesting. And it was quick, it wasn't too much, and it leads straight into like him kind of just getting chased by Garfield, and him using this like this ability to stop from getting totally fucked up by Garfield.
And then, like, at the last moment,
Yeah, at the last moment, what?
oh, so man, I gotta like say, so we gotta have a thing when I do like a if I do a throw up.
Oh, that was a throw up, man. Again, I had no idea that was coming. Well, I guess. Are you saying at the last moment, Rem comes down and puts some hands on Garfield? Some serious hands.
Puts the hands on him.
You know,
Yep,
you.
I was.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that. I had a lot of respect for Garfield. I was like, man, this dude's super powerful. And then when I saw how Ram put the hands on him, I was like, damn, Garfield, you're getting your ass beat. Like I just thought of like the dam off of Friday. Why he's getting like he's taking these hands. He's taking these L's.
Yeah. Which like makes me ask, where was Ram? 'Cause I don't remember, maybe you can fill this in for me. When Garfield first attacked in the first iteration of him, of us seeing him transform, where was he when like Garfield was just massacring all the people? When Garfield was massacring all the townspeople, where was he then? Or where was Ram then?
I don't know.
When the world needed her most, she was not putting the hands on Garfield. She was out there comforting her senpai.
Honestly,
like a simp.
Honestly, that might be it. Like, that might be what happened. She just didn't go because Rosario was like, yo, give me a foot massage or something. Like, I could easily see Ram not giving a fuck about that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she doesn't really care too much for the villager people.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's also this... Oh, God.
I was just going to say maybe because she's a demon.
Yeah, she's an ogre. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me be politically correct. She's an ogre.
Okay. She does say some nice things about Subaru. I think this is where you hear the nicest thing Ram has said about Subaru through the whole series. It was a backhanded compliment, but a compliment nonetheless.
Which is basically, you just get lucky, kid.
She's not wrong.
Yeah, she's not wrong. But if she knew what he had to do to get lucky, maybe she would have a bit more respect.
Yeah, well, she doesn't, man. Like, that's the whole another reason why I love the show, man. It's like, no one knows, man. He's literally just a nobody.
Yeah, it's just pretty good show altogether.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, so we like get through all this stuff with Garfield. We didn't get to see the conclusion of that. I hope we get to see that next episode. But Garfield.
We know the conclusion.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to see.
You're right.
Yeah, we don't know if Otto's dead or not. He can still be dead. Otto could still be murdered, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much, like, the way that cuts off pretty much is, like, Ram hits her limit, and, you know, she has to, she gets timed out, and Otto is like, time to fucking run! And he's, like, getting chased by Garfield at the end of that scene. And then that's when we get to start the second part of the episode. Which, I don't know, I think my initial thoughts about this is, like, man, this scene was really, really well done, in my opinion. I think the way the scene flew, or whatever, and, like, the things it did, like, it did stuff with the music where it's, like, the music would swell, and you would think, like, oh, Subaru is about to make this, like, devastating point, and it's gonna, like, help solve everything, and they just straight up say, like, no, like, so the music's, like, swelling. And, like, I think Amelia says, like, stop messing around. And they, like, just pretty much cut off the whole music. And then they go into, like, a really, I think, a very, like, interesting and, like, reasonable argument about, like, how both of them see each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, but from this scene, these scenes or whatever, like, this argument scene. So, yeah, it's pretty much they're in the trial place. And they're talking about their relationship, kind of. And pretty much, Subaru confessed. He confesses to Amelia, leaves it all on the table, and it, like, devolves into an argument. But they find, like, some ground at the end. But yeah, I think, like, the main things, like, I found super interesting was about Amelia really, really cares about promises. Something that seems to really stick out for me, and then also that, like, she is definitely getting her memories back, and she is terrified what it's going to do to her.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like she has a lot on her plate that she is really concerned about. And very, 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 like, logically concerned. Not very logically. Very, like, reasonably concerned. It was, like, really good to hear, like, a lot of her points that she made. I think a lot of them, we kind of saw a little bit in the beginning of the sloth arc. And I think this kind of formed a nice little, I don't want to say a bow, because maybe there could still always be some things left that deal with this. This could only be the beginning of something more. But yeah, I think you pointed that out right. She does seem to have, like, a very strong emphasis on promises. And, you know, not just promises, like, I think a lot of it is kind of like, or how I saw it was a lot of it is like, hey, you know, you're saying all this stuff, but like, let's kind of review your actions. Or at least some of your actions, like they don't seem to be like holding up with like, I don't know, the fact, like what you're saying.
I think my favorite thing, I think she says, she's like, I'm going to reword it, but she pretty much like straight up says like, I didn't ask you to do any of this, right? You're complaining about like doing a whole bunch of stuff for me. And I never asked you to do any of this. And then on the top of that, I feel bad that you're doing this stuff too. And I think that is like a super solid point, that she has. And like, it's very kind of true, right? Like Amelia didn't really ask for any of this. Like she is as much as like a person like thrown into this situation as Subaru, at least from where we see her like in the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And not only that, she's also like, she also kind of doesn't understand. It seems like one, she seems like she has a lot of like self-hatred going on, but like she doesn't understand, or she doesn't see, it doesn't seem like it makes sense to her why Subaru wouldn't be angry with her because of her reasons for trying to be queen, and how she sort of believes them to be like very selfish, and like there shouldn't be a reason why you're willing to risk your life just for me, especially when you seem to be breaking your promises, because that obviously doesn't seem like it's for me at all.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's like a self-hate, and I think there's like an ability, like Amelia doesn't feel like anyone can love her for real other than Puck, right? She didn't, it seems like she doesn't have anyone else that like really loves her, or she thinks she doesn't. And Subaru saying this stuff is really hard for her to believe.
Yeah. I mean, if we go back and think about it, like, it doesn't seem like she really has any sort of strong mutual. It doesn't seem like she has a strong mutual relationship with Rem or Roswell or Beatrice. Like, they're kind of allies, but it does seem like she has an understanding of, like, how small their bond was, especially before Subaru showed up.
Yeah, and like we already know that like at least the bond with Roswell is completely made off of a deal, right? It's completely like you do something for me and I'll do something for you. I still have to go watch the movie, but like probably the movie will tell more about it. But like, you know, that is just a business that could easily just be seen as like a business arrangement, right? Like, yes, I don't think I think she probably doesn't like dislike him. She probably likes Roswell a lot, but it's definitely hard to make a person that's like literally saying like, hey, become the president, or well, not the president, become the king, become the queen, so, and I'll do something for you, right? Like,
yeah.
That's a lot of pressure, and it seems like very like, it's definitely not as good as your heart. Like, she knows you could do this without becoming the queen, I guess. But you know, I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Maybe there's something we don't know, and we need to watch a movie to find out. But yeah, it's like he literally says like, yeah, I could do this, but I will probably only do it if you were the queen.
Yeah. Roswell is basically kind of just he's just basically a one-man super pack.
Yeah, but yeah, I think in that argument, I think they both made really good arguments. I think Subaru's argument is always really solid of like, man, if you could just see like what I've been doing through, like you can see like I know more and I care more than you really think. Yeah, but I liked how they were like, they made this uncomfortable. They were like, hey, like Subaru straight up tells her like, you know, the stuff that annoys her about him, what he's annoyed about her, right? Like what bothers her, him about her. And it's like he's still saying like, yeah, I still love you, even though like, you know, you have these things that are bad, it doesn't make me love you any less. And I think another thing that I think is kind of, that was kind of really, really cool was like bringing back the mom thing. Cause like, I thought the mom thing was going to be kind of thrown away, but like bringing it back, man. Like it works. It was a good line. It makes sense that Subaru would say that, cause it's something that his parents would say. But yeah, I thought like that line that her mom had like a couple episodes ago, I was like, oh man, that's a interesting line that's gonna get never brought up again. And they were like, nah, bitch, here it is.
Yeah, I don't really remember the line that they said. I just thought it was like really weird. Like when I was watching, I was like, oh man, this is a weird time to include, like, to be thinking about your mother while you're making a confession, this girl that you like. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's a little weird. But yeah, I think the thing was generally like saying like, hey, it's not about like how you start, it's way more about like how you end. That was like the gist of her quote. And like the way you Subaru uses is like, hey, yeah, I know you're afraid of like changing into another person. It's like, I know you're afraid of like getting your memories unlocked and you becoming a completely different person. But like either way, like it doesn't matter. Like you are like still, you will be like, I'll still love you no matter what happens. And like the way things end up is like way more important than your past.
Man, what if how she ends up is like she ends up basically defecting to the equivalent of the dark side. She ends up joining the disciples. It just ends up like the head of the witch cult.
Hey man, at least you know that she has one ride or die, because Subaru's just gonna do it.
Oh, man, I really hope they don't do a Naruto Sasuke thing. That's really gonna annoy me. I'm not gonna lie, that would really annoy me.
I think one other thing that I want to mention, I might be tripping. I think this might be like just me, but like in the scene, when they're talking about like their like what like is a precious feeling, and like for Subaru, he's like saying like, yeah, you are my precious feeling. Like I don't feel anything as like good, or as like I don't like, you are something that I like is a once in a lifetime thing, and you're a precious feeling for me. And like when he's saying this, this is like around the same time he's saying like, I love you, I want to be for you. And I think this is like right before, this is probably right after the kiss they have or whatever. We still haven't mentioned that. Yeah, they kiss. If you're watching this and don't know, if you're watching this, you didn't know they kiss somehow, they kissed. But yeah, but when they're talking about this, like they're talking about like, hey, these precious feelings or whatever. In the eyes of Subaru, when he's like looking at Amelia and he's like confessing these things and saying like, hey, like you, I love you and stuff like that, she shows up in his like eye. Like she shows up in the reflection of his eye. Like, and I think it's like a kind of like a thing of saying like, hey, she is this precious feeling, this precious like thing to Subaru. And like, the reason why I'm saying that is because, after they kiss, and stuff like that, for a brief moment, which doesn't happen anywhere else in the scene, for a brief moment at the end of the scene, like Amelia's eyes has a reflection of Subaru after they kiss, and he like, she kind of like recognizes his love in a way. And maybe that's like a sign of like saying like, Subaru is this precious person to, Amelia as well. And she has like these precious feelings. But I could be tripping, but I'm pretty sure I saw that when I was like watching the scene.
Oh, that sounds pretty familiar.
I found that like if I'm reading that right, I think that's a really cool way to convey the feelings of these two characters in these moments without like them saying it in their head like normal shows do. Like, you know, normal shows would like, yeah, I truly love him now. But like, you know, like that small thing of like just the reflection in each other's eyes is like kind of gives away like, hey, these two have precious feelings for each other. Another thing I want to pull out, they're not really a ship yet, right? Because like yes, they kiss, but like, it wasn't the whole thing kind of like, hey, I know you might change because of your memories and stuff, but, and I hope that you like choose me, but like, if you have to choose someone else, it's still okay. Didn't he kind of say that? Are they really shipped? Is this really a cruise ship or not? Or is this just like a paddle boat right now?
That's what I'm saying. It is too early to say anything for sure. For one thing that I know is, from what I remember in Sora Online, is when you have something like that, like where the relationship takes off in the middle of the season or the middle of the show, it is usually bracing you up for a lot of awful things to come.
You mean awful as like the show turns awful, or you mean like awful like awful things happen in the show?
Awful as in shut the fuck up. Don't talk about Sword Art Online. The first season was decent. I stand by it.
Let's call it. Sword Art Online is not as bad as people make it out to be. I just love like needling you about it, because I remember that day where you were like, I was like, I stuck to my guns, but I was like, this show's gonna be bad. The show's gonna be bad. And you were like, oh, no way. And then time proved me right.
Yeah, but I heard the new season's pretty dope. But yeah, you're right. The last few seasons do seem to be very, very awful.
I heard the same thing. I heard like this, like the latest season of it has been pretty good. But I like this episode. I think it was a really good episode. I think it hit like a lot of the loose ends. It resolved some stuff. So maybe you're right. Maybe they're resolving stuff so they can pick up faster the next couple episodes. I just hope it does that. I hope it this season starts moving through some of the plot. And I understand if the show doesn't do that, because like I'm obviously enjoying the show a lot even without that. But hopefully, like I want to see, like, I just want to get the witches back, man. I got the witches, the disciples, the apostles back. I want to see them. I want Rem to wake up from her sleep. I want some of that to be resolved. At least get out this godforsaken sanctuary. We've been here for like 7 to 8 episodes, maybe even more.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Nobody.
Yeah, but yeah, I think this episode is really good. I hope we get to move around the plot in it some more. But even if we don't, I'm probably still gonna fucking love the show, because the show is super good. I guess, like, do you have any last thoughts before we go into like predictions?
I only have predictions.
Okay. All right. So since you're ready to go, I'll let you go first. What do you predict is gonna happen next episode?
Well, first, I am going to predict that Garfield, in the middle of the cut between the last thing we saw between Rem, Otto, and Garfield, that at some point in their like fight, either probably Otto was able to convince Garfield to side with Subaru. And they're going to set it up basically like Subaru, that Garfield is there to basically beat the shit out of Subaru. But in actuality, he's come there to say, nah, I'm pretty much joined. I'm going to help you more or less. Or there's some sort of scene in there that like would lead us to believe that he is more likely to come over to Natsuki Subaru's side. Second, I foresee things picking up very, very quickly, or things being set up to pick up very, very quickly within the next 2 to 3 episodes. I don't know how we're going to get both Amelia through the temple and simultaneously solve the issue at the castle without the help of without the help of Garfield. So maybe if they get that consolidated sooner or then later, they can get him to the castle. Because I feel like Garfield is going to have some place in the castle, because he probably is going to have some scene where he reunites with his sister.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. For my prediction, I think there's going to be a big chunk of the next episode talking about what did Subaru do during the night where he left Amelia.
Oh yeah, I forgot that.
I think they're gonna, there's gonna be a chunk that's gonna be probably where they pick up from. I think you're kind of right. I think you're right. I think Otto is gonna convince Garfield. He's either gonna convince Garfield or kind of knock him out and make him, and then talk to him then. And I think whatever Subaru did at night is probably gonna be like the reason this works. Maybe he gets his sister to come back to the sanctuary and like hash it out with him, so he can like change his opinion. Like I can, like maybe he went like got her, just make her come back and just like say like, hey, and she's like, hey, come on, we can like we can help end this if you're willing to help end this, right? But yeah, I think that's gonna happen. I think they're gonna go straight into like trying to get Amelia through the trials, and I think when we're doing this, we're gonna slowly start seeing Amelia either change or start feeling some heavy regret because of the memories coming back. But I think, like, yeah, I think the ending of that, of the next episode, is gonna be a lot of like focusing on like Amelia's going to do the second challenge, right? Or Amelia's going to do her the first one or the second one. I don't think Subaru was gonna be let in, because I just remembered, I said it last time, like I said, like Subaru could go to a challenge, but I remembered last season, in episode 12 or 13 of season 2, I'm pretty sure the Witch of Envy has like denied his trials. He can't take the trials anymore, so I don't think Subaru can go into the trials when it's active at all. So I think it's just going to be a solo Amelia adventure, kind of taking on her past, and probably going to see some films. We're going to probably see scenes from the film that we should probably go watch. but yeah, that's my prediction. I think in general, Subaru did last night, I think he probably maybe grabbed Garfield's sister to convince Garfield. They're going to talk about it, and then they're going to focus on Amelia passing this trial. And then the apostles show up. But yeah. Well, and if anyone is listening to this, somehow you got through all this and listened to us. Thanks for listening. We'll probably be back next week talking about more ReZero. And if you like it, let us know. And like, leave your predictions down there in the comments. I'm really interested to hear people's like predictions and theories. But yeah. Is there anything else you want to say, Roscoe?
I'm going to say, you know, if you'd like to subscribe. But whatever you do, don't lick the like button, because that's not healthy.
That's how you get the Rona.
Yes. So don't lick the like button.
All right.
You could kindly tap it if you'd like to. Just don't stick your tongue on the little thumb.
All right, well, I hope you enjoyed it. Take it easy.
Take it easy.